I'm a multifaceted boss.
I'm a creator boss.
I am a live video boss.
I'm a karate boss.
I am a blog boss.
I am a business boss.
Education boss.
I am a diverse academic boss babe.
She's evolving.
She's determined.
She's a boss.
And this is She's in a Pod.
Hey guys, welcome back to episode of She's in a Pod. She's in a pizzle.
Love that. She's in a pizzle.
Yeah.
She's in a wow.
How's everyone doing?
You're in your own world there. What are we doing?
Ali, because she sounds like Ali G right now.
She's in a pizzle.
Picky. Oh my god.
Anyways, yeah. How are we all doing?
How are we doing today? I'm good. Should we introduce ourselves? So, guys, you're listening to your girl Shade or Shade, whichever one floats your boat.
This is Bianca, BB, your girl, Beyonce's biggest fan, you know the deal.
I like that. And this is your girl, Jenny, Jen, whichever one you want to call me, I answer to all.
So, oh.
And we are back with another episode.
Yes,
we are so excited. We hope you guys are enjoying the weekly episodes because it's a lot of work.
It is. It's a lot of work. I didn't realize how hard it would be.
The stress of getting myself together in this heat, the 30 plus degree heat. Yeah.
Yes.
It's,
don't worry, you'll be back with us in the cold very soon. It's okay.
Yeah.
No, it's okay. But you know what? I don't mind. I'm actually, people are like, oh, you're coming back soon. Ha, ha, ha. I'm like, listen, I was out here for 4 months. So what about you? What was you doing?
I actually
don't mind. Like, I'm actually ready to be home now. I'm not like, oh, I don't want to go. I'm not like that at all. So. But yeah, for those of you that don't know, I'm in Ghana right now. Yeah. But anyways, I'm back next week. Get back next week Wednesday. So back on the ends. Anyways, how are you guys doing? How are you, Jen? How are you?
Good. I'm good. I've been keeping myself busy.
We can see all your features and all of the replays.
Yeah.
Well done.
That's been fun. I've just been trying to have fun, you know, because the start of this year, last year has been a bit depressing. So hopefully, you know.
For you or in general?
Yeah. I feel like just in general, like not seeing a way out of this whole pandemic. But I do know that now, Panasonic, I do know that now because of the restrictions being lifted and what Boris is saying is giving me a bit of hope. So hopefully we can go out
I think the hope shouldn't be in when we're going out again. I think the hope should be in when we go out again that we don't have to come back in.
So we don't have to come back.
That's it. This is what I'm saying. Yeah. The hope is that it's not too soon and that this time it really works. I think that's my hope. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think that's why he's taken a staggered approach. Like I don't know if you can tell, but he's not going all in with the eat out deal that he made before.
Yeah.
Please don't even remind me of that atrocity. But yeah, even the whole staggered approach, although I think it's good, I still think the fact that all schools are being open on March 8th is just too soon.
But then, do you know what? One thing that one thing that I'm like, okay, is that secondary school and college students are going to be getting tested twice a week.
Who's doing the testing as well?
Yeah. So
who's doing the testing?
I don't know, but it says that college and secondary students are going to be getting tested literally twice a week. So
if they can enforce that, like for real, then that's really good.
Yeah, that's really good
in that case.
When I saw that, I was like, okay, that if that works well, that will be a big help because you know, I think it's the smaller children are not really too worried about because they're a bit more immune to these kind of things. But like the older ones, yeah, they can definitely carry these things. But I'm tired of talking about Rona. Shade, how are you?
I'm good, you know. How's my week been? I mean, today's the beginning of the week, but last week was a really good week, actually.
That's good.
In that, I just got a lot of things done. I kind of stepped out of my comfort zone and did a few things that kind of stretched me and did a few things kind of out of my norm, which is really good. So I feel like I'm growing and developing. Yeah. It's always better late than never with these things.
Yeah. Always. It's never too late. Never too late.
Yeah, exactly. And I've started doing Yoruba lessons as well.
I saw. How's it going?
It's so fun. I've been procrastinating for years. I've been saying that I really want to learn Yoruba. Even if I can't speak it, I just want to be able to understand it. Because then I'm going to marry into a Yoruba family, my dad's Yoruba, and it's just something I want to understand.
So do your parents
and teach your kids as well?
But hold on, you're half, aren't you? Is it half Yoruba? You are. Okay.
Yeah.
So do you understand Igbo then?
My dad, I understand Igbo more than I understand Yoruba.
Okay.
So that's why I'm not like, I don't really care to kind of learn Yoruba. I mean, Igbo, rather. Because Igbo, I'm not going to marry into an Igbo family anyway. So I don't feel like I need to understand it. But Yoruba, I just want to be able to understand those conversations.
Yeah, okay.
That makes sense.
Is it like a one-to-one or is it a group?
One-to-one. He does group and one-to-ones, but I just opted for one-to-one so that it can be tailored to
me. Better that way.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's so cheap as well. But you know, Nigerian money, when you convert it, it's like a lot, but it's so cheap.
How did you find that? How did you find the person?
Oh, this black young professionals. Have you guys heard of BYP Network?
Yeah, I have.
Yes.
Yeah. So through there, they had a conference, a leadership conference back in, was it October or November? And then he was like promoting his services. And then I was like, oh, this is fantastic. Cheaper than the other ones that I'd found. And I was like, why not? And it's going really well. Super fun.
You have to let us know how it goes, Shade.
I will. I'll be practicing for you guys.
You might have to teach me a few words, Shade, to be honest.
True that. Welcome to the good sides. How are you, Bea? What's new?
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm okay. Just, oh my God, the stress of getting home is just long. Like, every day,
I'm discovering
something new. I have two suitcases, but I'm paying for an extra one because the last time I came here, I actually left stuff here. And then what had happened was, like, when I didn't bring enough stuff home with me, and I was constantly buying clothes throughout the year because it's not like I didn't have it, it's just I didn't have it with me in the UK. So I'm not trying to go through that again where I have to waste money on clothes because I don't have it. So I'm just bringing everything back with me. So I have to pay for an extra suitcase. Then I didn't know, but thank God, my friend, you know, Danielle, Sade. She was here, obviously, and I messaged her. She's gone now. I messaged her, and I was like, oh, how was your flight? Because she left on Thursday. She was like, yeah, girl. I just wanted to know how smooth it was, like, getting home and stuff like that. Like, what was everything she had to go through? She's like, girl, you have to pay £210. I was like, what? £210 for what?
Wow.
So, this is the thing. They've advertised the whole, like, you have to quarantine in a hotel if you're coming from a country that's on the red list. But what they don't tell you is that if anyone that gets into the UK, you're coming from anywhere, no matter whether you're on a red list or not, you have to pay £210 because you have to quarantine for 2 days and they give you two corona tests, COVID tests. One that you have to take on day two and one you have to take on day eight, and you have to pay for it. Like, you won't get on the flight to go home without paying for it. So when she told me, I was like,
they're just discouraging people from traveling. That's what it is. Someone to pay.
But
do you think people will quarantine if they don't pay? If you weren't forced to pay?
Well, I don't know, because I'm assuming with your, I don't know if they...
Is it a quarantine? Wait, so what are you paying for to quarantine at a hotel?
You're paying for the tests. Because they give you the test to take home. You have to take the test on day two and day eight.
You're definitely quarantining because you don't want to be socializing in the
But I'm not, I ain't going to be going anywhere anyway. It's not like there's anywhere to go outside is closed. So, but I was just like, oh, these unexpected expenses that is just like... But you know what? I still respect it. I'm like, you know what? They're really doing, even though
they should have done
all of this last year. They're finally doing it.
I have no sympathy for this government because they've done everything too late and it's resulted in what's happening now.
So now I'm just kind of like, obviously, and I have to pay for my COVID test, my negative COVID test as well. It's just a lot of things that I'm trying to make sure that I don't miss so that I don't have any wahala when I get on the plane, like, to try and go home. So it's just to try and make sure that I'm always updated on the latest because things are changing every single day just don't know what happens. And I'm just praying to God, you never know what could happen. Like, God has kept me this far. That Ghana doesn't lie. I'm landing on that red list. Because if they do, I'm staying here.
No,
I'm staying. I'm staying here for another 2 months because I'm not, why am I going to pay $2,000 to stay in a hotel?
No, that's a lot. Like, that is in, a lot,
in a cold country. Why am I going to come back to the UK? Yeah. I'll just stay. So, but I'm okay. Definitely. I'm actually really excited to be home to see my friends and like stuff like that. I'm nice. Looking forward to it. So,
yeah, so girl, we can see anyways, each other again as well.
Exactly. Yeah. And we can get back into the studio. Like months, I know Brent has missed us. Brent, I know you've missed us.
He definitely has. I missed his tweets. I've missed his sweets.
You missed his sweets, not him. You missed his sweets. I'm so done. Okay, so own my pod, guys. Who's doing own my pod for today? Pod. Yes.
Own my pod.
Okay, so we're going to do our own my pod now, guys. If you don't know what own my pod is, it's when we speak about something noteworthy, oh my gosh, worthy, fun, interesting, shocking. So yeah, who's doing own my pod this week?
I am. Can you guys hear me okay, yeah?
We can hear you. A bit laggy, but we can hear you.
Okay, cool. I don't know. Sorry, guys. This is the Ghana Wi-Fi. My bad. But anyways, so...
Ghana Wi-Fi.
This week's Oh My Pod is that Forbes magazine has reported that Rihanna's brand, Savage Fenty, has... hit $1 billion in sales, and jeez. I think that
wow, money maker,
dope. Sorry. Because you know, and the thing is, you know what's so dope about that? For me, what's inspiring about that is not less than 2 weeks ago, there was news reported that her guys, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, sorry, I don't know what's going on. But yeah, so not less than 2 weeks ago, it was reported that her Fenty clothing line was actually, it shut down. Yeah. Like, it's closed. Like, basically, they put it on hold for different reasons. I just think it wasn't really working. Mm-hmm. Something is working and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, okay, like, that's a loss. That's an L. And then literally less than 2 weeks later, it's Savage Fenty. Another one of her other businesses has hit $1 billion.
Jeez, that is just, like, crazy.
It's worth $1 billion. I don't think it's $1 billion. I don't know if it's $1 billion in sales or if it's worth that. But either way, it's dope. And I just, I love Rihanna so much because everyone's waiting she's on R9, the new album, etc., etc. But I think she should keep on doing what she's doing.
Do you know what?
Like, she's dope at it.
Same. I don't think singing was her thing. I don't think singing was
really.
Her thing.
I must say,
she's not the best singer. Start, she's not the best singer. Like she's,
but she makes good music.
She's an entrepreneur. Yeah.
She makes
good
music, though.
Yeah. I'm not a massive fan of her music.
She does. She does. Songs, but I'm really glad that she stuck to her guns. And I think this is what she envisioned anyway, for this to become a successful business. And she knew what it took for it to become that. And her spreading herself between music and Savage Fenty and all that kind of stuff, I don't think it would have worked. And I think she knew that as well. So, yeah, she definitely deserves it.
Yeah, absolutely. Nah,
I get it. I get
Rihanna
it.
Is a boss. Boss,
she is a boss.
And she's just in her bag, and we love to see it.
And she just celebrated her birthday recently, actually, so happy belated.
Oh, yeah, it February. Was, yeah.
Happy birthday, Rihanna. We hope you listen to this, girl.
I think she's what is she, a Pisces?
Happy birthday.
My ex was a Pisces.
Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh.
I'm not really a star sign person. I don't really.
Sorry to all the Pisces out there.
I'm just like, but no, I love it. I've been obsessed with Rihanna from her first album. Like musical design, and just to see her growth and her evolution. That album, I used to bring the CD Walkman to school and burn it on like a, you know, when you burn CDs. Oh my gosh, I used to burn her. And then when she cut her hair, I cut my hair like
I'm same.
Everyone, she's actually a boss. Like she actually, like, the amount of girls that cut their hair and then dyed it to red.
Yeah, she could rock any hairstyle. Exactly, any hairstyle she could rock.
Exactly. She's so gorgeous. So,
but ladies, shout out to Riri, bad girl Riri. Shout out to her. But anyways, so this week's episode, guys. What are we talking about?
We are talking about bouncing back from failures, yep. Success, all of that good stuff.
I mean, no, that ties in well with what we were just talking about Rihanna, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah, definitely. True. So, question. What does failure mean to you both? Like, what's the first thing you think about when you hear failure?
Not achieving what I set out to. So, I set out to achieve a certain thing. Certain goal, certain task, and I didn't. So to me, that could mean that I have failed in that aspect.
Okay.
And it doesn't always have to be a bad thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Failure, I think there's levels to it, really. There's like sense of failure, as in like I've tried something and I'm not working at it hard enough, so I'm not getting the results that I would hope to get. Do you know what I mean? Like, so there's that, and there's like, you know what, if you right now you don't have the muscle, you don't have enough muscle to achieve it, but if you keep exercising that muscle, it, eventually you'll get there. Do you know what I mean? It's like you see those little videos of those kids that try to do something, they try to like do a jump, and they keep doing it, they keep doing it, and eventually the more they practice, they do it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So
I think one, for me, one side of failure represents like building muscle. Like building that, you know, that core, that strength. The other side is, for me, when you've actually done everything that you can do and it doesn't work. And for me, that is more so of that thing wasn't for me. It wasn't for me. And there's certain things that we...
At what point do you know that, though? Because I've heard a lot, especially like when people are talking about just different careers or let's say, for example, being an artist. And trying for so many years and not getting to that point where, you know, you feel like you should be. Is that a sign for you to give up?
No, not at all, because I think that failure is not about giving up. It's about finding a different route to the destination that you want, which is what I'm saying. So it's not necessarily...
What about
the
destination isn't for you?
But that's what, so that's what I said, there's layers to that. So the first thing is, okay, like, if something I know is authentically me and it's something that has come from me and I know that I'm destined to do something or I'm destined to accomplish something, failing first might be, hey, you know, it didn't work this way, but I'm going to try it another way. The route that I was going to take wasn't for me. I wasn't supposed to take this route. I was supposed to take another route. The other one is, I think knowing that something, whether something's for you or not, sometimes we have, it's trial and error, but you have to pay attention to trial and error. You have to be self-aware. Like, I think that You sometimes we're so blind to wanting something so much that we don't realize that this is actually not for us. I think it's something that is not, it's not like a 1+1=2 kind of thing where it's a blueprint that everyone can use. It's just something that you're going to have to, you have to use for yourself and pay attention to yourself and figure out, okay, am I doing this because it's really coming from me and this is my purpose or my destiny, or am I doing this for other unauthentic reasons? And I think that's it. So that's why I say there's layers to failure, definitely. Yeah. And no matter how you fail, my thing is ultimately, whether it failure or success, there are these things lie in it. But I think failure more, you hold on to these things more, and those are lessons. If you have failed, like in every part of failure, however it comes at you, it's a lesson, and sometimes the lesson is more valuable than the result that you were trying to get.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, I think that's something that you learn, a lot of us learn in hindsight, where we look back at, you know, times that we failed or think where things haven't gone right, and we're like, oh, actually I understand why that needed to happen in order for me to learn and grow and take this particular path and things like that. I think,
and actually, go on, Jen.
Yeah, go on.
No, I'm just going to say, I have a personal example, but go on first and then I'll share my example.
Yeah, I was just going to like agree with you guys. I think for me, failure, and I don't know, maybe I put so much pressure on myself, but when I fail at something, I always feel like it's the end of the world. And I'm trying to learn not to feel that way. And I think it's because I set such high expectations. Yeah. Not necessarily other people's expectations of me, but what I feel I should be doing in life or where I should be at in life and things like that. But I think definitely as I've gotten older, I've realized that, you know, it's okay to fail, and, you know, seeing how far I've grown. And like I said before, looking back in hindsight, and seeing why certain things had to happen, I'm like, okay, maybe failing isn't such a bad thing. I think there's always a bad connotation to failing, but actually it's something that should also be viewed as a positive thing as well.
And it's all about a mindset shift. It's all about the mindset shift, because it's easy to say, oh yeah, let's learn from our failures. But in reality, when we do fail at something, you can tend to feel very, very distraught, and it could deflate you completely. Yeah. You could lose motivation and all of that. So I really do think it's all about, you know, your mindset and how you're approaching the situation. So like a good example of a time where you could say I failed, or where maybe things didn't go quite as I had planned, was in my, it was like my second corporate role at EY. Really, really, you know, great company, all of that. And after a while they said I was underperforming, and obviously that's like, whoa, okay. And then they put me on this thing called a PIP, a performance improvement plan, which is not a good thing. Like, it's something that a lot of people have been on, a lot of people, but no one really talks about it, because it's not something you kind of share, because it's almost like embarrassing or whatever. So obviously in that moment I was a bit younger, you know, to me that was like, whoa, this is the end of the world, like, nah, what's gonna happen to me? How do I redeem myself? Am I that bad? Am I not good at my job? Am I not supposed to be in a corporate role? So all these thoughts were going in my head. But actually, now that I look back on it, I feel like those things were preparing me for the real world of corporate life, because the real world of corporate life is cutthroat.
And that's what it is about the lesson being more valuable than the actual destination.
So I do feel like if I hadn't have gone through that, maybe I might have been complacent in my approach to my everyday work. So you know, now that I look back, actually that was very valuable for me, because that pushed me to do things with excellence, and to, you know, just learn lessons that I'm now applying to my roles now, that's helping me to get, you know, higher roles and better roles and to do
and look at where you are now.
Exactly.
We thank God. We thank God. But it has not
Amazon
been easy.
Babe.
Amazonian girl. Wonder Woman.
But you've worked hard for it. Like you said, it's not easy. It's something that you
it's not, you know, at all.
Worked hard for.
It's not at all.
100%.
How about you, Bianca? Have you had any experiences that you
want to
share?
Ciao. Where do I start? oh gosh, okay, let me try and think of one. Yeah, I have. I think when it's come to, I mean, I've had loads like failures, but I think when it has come to like more so the initiatives that I put on, like when I was running Pretty Hurts and stuff like that, there were certain times living Pretty in the End. Certain times, and this, again, this is levels of failure, because, like, this failure was due to inconsistency. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't due to, sometimes failure is caused by different things, and it was definitely inconsistency. And then me just seeing, you know, being inconsistent about it and not kind of getting the results that I know I needed to get in order for it to work, and then kind of just being like, meh. And sometimes we don't see inconsistency as failure, because sometimes we view failure as only the outside problem, when failure is a lot of times it's an inside problem as well. It's something that we need to work on in ourselves in order to like steer ourselves in the right direction. So I would say that like there's been times where I've wanted to, I remember one time I started this thing called Contouring Coffee. It was like this event where I like put this you know, women will come together and like basically be in coffee shops and basically just like sit and chat and like network. Basically, it's like a little networking event. And I think the whole plan was, I sat down with my best friend. We were like, yeah, I'm going to do it like once a month. And we had one. we had one. And after that, I was like, meh. And it just felt terribly. Do you know what I mean? And it's, the whole, at that point, you kind of get like, how can I say, demotivated. And then it kind of trickles down into other parts of your life where failure it's quite contagious, failure, because if you feel like you failed in one area, then you start looking at all the other areas of your life. And if you get into a certain frame of mind, you just don't put in the energy and work you need to put in other areas as well. So it can be quite contagious. But I would say, that's like one of the many, many, many failures that I've had. Yeah. What about you, Jen?
So for me, I've had so many failures, a lot behind closed doors. And I think we'll go on to that later on. But for me, one memorable failure for me is that, oh gosh, it was at sixth form.
Okay.
I was my first year of sixth form and I just got my A-level results. Mm. And, you know, a lot of you guys now know I work in mental health, right? So, in the healthcare profession. And that's exactly the field that I wanted to go into. I study biology, psychology, and religious studies. And I absolutely love them. Okay?
You loved and biology? Oh, girl.
I did. I like biology and all that kind of stuff. So anyway.
I got a U in biology. Just, I don't know what I was thinking. But yeah.
You got a U in biology?
A U.
So.
Yeah.
I revised hard. I was staying after school with my teachers. You know, just really enjoying the process. And got my results. I remember I was in my room with my friend as well. And we opened our envelopes at the same time. And I ended up getting a E-U-D. E-U-D. Wow. Now, this is coming from you. A person who... You. As in, like, I didn't even reach...
and, as in, it's spelled Jew. As in, Jew.
As in... Jew. Oh my god. Jew, exactly. And guys, my heart sank. The way my heart sank, and I started thinking about my life, like what's going to become of me. Oh, I failed. You know, there's no point of me going to uni, there's no point of me going to school. Let me go.
Was this A level or GCSE?
This is A level. My first year.
A levels was the hardest thing of my life.
Yeah, A levels are hard.
They were very hard, but what makes it even worse is when you enjoy the subject and you did bad, you're like, what's wrong now? Yeah. Like, what was that?
It's true.
But, like, for me, it was such a low moment, and I just remember, like, thinking, like, feeling so hopeless, and my friend, oh, bless her, she had the same results as me, so we were both sitting there crying, like, what are we going to do with our lives? And... You know, the thing about me, and I think it's something that's been instilled in me for a very long time, is that I'm quite resilient. And I think it's because I failed so many times and I've had to, like, get up and, you know, show face and all that kind of stuff. So when that happened, even though it was, like, a low blow for me, a couple of days later, I went to different colleges. I started saying, oh, can I do this course? Can I do this BTEC course in health and social care? And really, I started strategizing, okay, listen, I can't just sit there. I need to do something.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, I was on YouTube and I was just, I don't know. I know you guys last week, you spoke about affirmations and things like that. And that's something I'm really into. So I remember there was a quote, and I think most people will know this, from Michael Jordan, where he said that he almost lost 300 games. He had 26 shots which he missed. He failed over and over and over again, like you know his famous speech. And this is why I succeed, he says. And I remember when I saw that, I was like, do you know what, this might not be my only failure at life, but it doesn't mean that I won't succeed. And from then, like, I've started trying to view failure in a different way. Like, of course, it's always a low blow when it happens, but I didn't want to view it as, like, the end of the world. But yeah, I've had so many failures in the past, and I think, I don't know, like, I always felt like, you know, when you see maybe celebs or, like, people who are quite, you know, successful and things like that, you almost feel like they're untouchable. Like, oh, there's no way they could have failed. But I don't know, like, what do you guys think, like, when you look at other people and maybe their success, like, do you ever think actually behind closed doors that it's a different story?
Do you know what, yeah, I want to get into this because I feel like this part would be quite good. So let's do she's all that, because let's do that, and then we can go into the core parts. I feel like the parts that are going to be more juicy. So who's doing cheese on that this week?
I think we might need to.
Oh, is it Sade? Okay.
Yeah,
so,
it's me.
Sade, what you got for us?
So, we actually had a nomination, our second nomination for She's All That, and we're loving it. Yes, thank you, guys. Keep the nominations coming.
Yeah.
Yes, we love it. We love it. So, She's All That is where we celebrate a woman. This is my favorite part of the episode. We celebrate a woman who is doing really well career-wise, or is just, you know, has overcome a battle, or is just killing it in her respective area. So, yeah, this week we had a nomination from Hannah Pickford, so thanks, Hannah. Hannah. She wants to nominate a young black female artist called Spider. Interesting name. Okay. She discovered her on TikTok. Okay. I'm really loving TikTok these days, by the way. I'll never ever make one.
I'm so addicted.
I don't use it, but I see some funny videos.
I don't use it, but I need to join it. This is it. That's why I join, because of those funny videos. But yeah, so your girl Spider, she recently released her single Water Sign all by herself without an agent or a record label, and it's been going viral on TikTok and other platforms. Oh, wow. It's a really good song, and I think it's amazing how she's doing this all by herself and trying to make it in a very difficult industry. She's trying to get her single on the radio, and she uses social media to achieve all of this, which is really, really inspiring. So yeah, she just wanted us to shout her out. So
I have to go on TikTok and listen to that song.
I'll go and listen to your girl Spider. But yeah, so we're gonna post Spider on our page. We're gonna celebrate her. Hannah, if you're listening to this, I'll definitely send this to you, but yeah, it would be nice if you could get your at on Instagram, if you have Instagram or Twitter, so we can tag you and thank you for nominating Spider. That's our She's All At for this week. And if you would like to nominate anyone, you can email, DM us, or nominate through our website.
Keep them coming. We're loving
Keep them coming. Okay.
So, talking about success and just how we view it in general, should people, and especially like people of high influence, so let's say celebrities or people who are entrepreneurs and just look very successful, should they be expected to share their ups and downs? And do people actually understand like what goes behind the scenes? Like, is that something you think about, or do you just kind of see them for how they are in their situation?
If we're being real, when I see, so like someone like Rihanna, we spoke about the fact that she's been valued at 1 billion, her company's been valued at 1 point whatever billion. My mind doesn't go to, oh, I wonder the obstacles she faced to get here. I'm just like, I want to get there.
I'm crying, I want to be crying in a bed of $1 million. You know what I'm saying? There's devils to face on every level of life, every single level. There's going to be, and sometimes the greater the level is the greater the devil, and sometimes you're going to struggle. I didn't even intend that to rhyme, but it just happened, you know. sometimes the greater the level is the greater the challenge, you know what I mean? And the more, because I can imagine someone, for example, like Rihanna, who has all this money, there's going to be things like family members tugging on her for money. Or look at what Britney Spears goes through with her dad. Saying?
It's so sad.
That is just, I need to watch a documentary on her, actually. I heard it's quite heartbreaking. Yeah. But you see what Britney Spears has gone through with her dad, and how he treats her, and how, like, you know, what money does for people. What's that?
I haven't heard about it.
Well, she's been going through a legal battle with her dad for years because of her mental health issues. Her dad has been basically the one that's been set in charge of all her affairs. That's financial stuff as well. And she's been trying to cut ties with him for a long time because he really abuses that power. But, you know, she can't because, it's not her that decides, unfortunately. So, you know, things like that, you know, that there's things that you have to fight on every level of life.
Yeah.
Immediately when I hear good news, like I heard also today about Jay-Z. What's the champagne company? I can't remember the champagne. Is it Moet?
Bought half of his company.
And so it's a really massive deal, which is dope. So they've got shares 50%, and That's amazing. So immediately when you hear that, you think, oh my god, this is dope, I want to be like them, blah 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 blah. You know, you stick them on your vision board and whatever. In that moment, you don't think about those other moments that they've had to kind of go through. But I'm always someone that I think I've always been quite a sober person, where as much as I kind of admire, and there's certain things that I may look at other people, like I may look at people's lives and be like, oh yeah, it'd be nice to have that. I always know that the grass isn't always greener. And sometimes the grass is so green is because the grass ain't real. Like sometimes.
Yeah, it's artificial. You know what I mean?
So yeah, no, but it's true. Yes. So I think that it's always important to have a sober mind. It doesn't mean you can't be in that moment sometimes and just be like, oh, that is amazing. But you can't, it's not healthy to do that, to be like that all the time. I think that's what is important. Yeah,
no, totally get that.
And also the most important thing about seeing celebrities' accomplishments and stuff like that is that that didn't happen overnight.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Whether or not even the level that they're at now is hard or it's easy, like that, where they have now, where Rihanna has, we've literally seen her grow. She's now 32, 33. We've seen her from when she was 17 years old.
Literally.
Like, you've seen that, you've seen that the hardships of what she's had to go over, Chris Brown, her relationships, family issues, like, you know, all these kind of things that we've seen her go through and things that we have no clue about. Like, majority of the things we have no clue about.
We still don't know,
Exactly. So I think that it's important to always pay attention to people's journeys, and us as a generation, we do want that microwave success. Do you know what I mean? Like, 1 minute, let's go. And we don't want to work for it. So I think that, it's always important to have a sober approach to these celebrities and stuff. And I don't think it's their responsibility to have to share the bad things. I don't think it's up to them. I think we are responsible for ourselves at the end of the day. And of course, if you have influence and you know you have your influence in a certain type of audience, there's certain things that you may think, you know, is this wise and etc. But at the end of the day, we have to take accountability for ourselves, for what ourselves, we're consuming and what etc. So I don't always put it on them, but I do appreciate it when they do that. I don't know if you guys saw that post about Keke Palmer put up about her skin a couple of months ago.
I loved that.
Because and she still like posts actually. Like I even saw a she post does. The other day. She still just posted with no makeup on, and like so you could see, it wasn't as bad as other pictures, but it was
Sometimes there's a tendency to see celebs and people in the public eye as superhuman.
They're untouchable or something.
They're normal people who.
And you know everything's perfect for them.
We're in the right place at the right time.
This isn't last episode. There's no secret to this success and this blowing thing. You just have to work hard. You might get lucky on social media, and one thing might make you blow, but people forget you. To maintain that, you just need to work hard. Are just people who just worked hard and worked smart. So like when they post stuff like that, it just reminds you that they are human. They really are, and I love it. I really do. The same with, oh my god, don't judge me, but I follow Jada Cheeves. Do you guys know her?
Oh yeah, yeah. I see her at the Shade Room.
She's like just so pretty and stuff. I really like her. I'm not even into like, slums or whatever.
It's okay to just post people that you like. Not everything has to be for like. Not everything has to be motivational and like. Sometimes just enjoyment. Do you know what I mean?
She's just buff. I like her. I think she has a very genuine personality. Mm. Yeah, her relationship is a bit of a mess, but I don't care about that. I just like her for her.
Little baby's baby mommy.
Yeah, I don't think they're seeing anymore, but anyways. But yeah, so she posted that when she was pregnant, because she's really pretty, you know, light skin, perfect teeth, perfect hair, perfect skin. But then she posted that when she was pregnant, she had really bad skin. Like, she posted the before and after, and I'm just like, wow.
But you know what I find interesting about that, though? A lot of people, and we do it, not even just celebrities, we wait till we're out of the failure to post about it and to let the people know. We don't tell people when we're in the failure and when we're experiencing
it. That's because it's painful, though. Sometimes it's too painful, but you know what?
I think you would, even though when you do share, when you're out of it, you do relate to people, but there's so many more people that will relate to you when you share, when you're in it. Because some people, I think that the thing is like, I'm in this right now, how am I going to get out of it? How am I, I have this skin issue. How am I going to see, you know, how can I see myself as beautiful? I'm in this financial issue. How can I get out of it? I'm grinding hard to be an entrepreneur. How, you know what I mean? And when you share, when you're in it, when you're in the dirt of it, you know what I mean? Like, that to me is the most authentic and vulnerable thing you can ever do, is share when you are in that struggle. Like, to me,
do you know who does that a lot? Do you know Leomi Anderson? She's the founder of
LAP. Yes,
she, you know that. So she had a situation where her suppliers, they basically effed up and took all of her stuff. And she actually documented it. She was tweeting about it and everything. And for me, I think, and that's why when I look at people's success now anyway, I do have the tendency of going back and seeing if there's any documentaries, if there's any interviews of them speaking and things like that. Just because I, like you said, I love the transparency, and it kind of makes me feel that, okay, where I'm at is actually okay. The fact that this isn't going right, that's fine. It's perfectly normal.
Definitely.
But I kind of agree with you. I don't think that they should be expected. When I say they, like people who are that, you know, successful, they shouldn't be expected to share their ups and downs as well. But I feel like, you know, if you hold yourself as someone who wants to be relatable to other people, who wants to be your quote-unquote role model, I think that you should, you know, balance it out and definitely. Be realistic, because I'm sure that when you were younger as well and you looked up to somebody, you would have wanted to, you know the things that they struggled with and how they overcame that as well. So I think it's just fair to
definitely.
Do that.
100%. Yeah, I agree.
But I do think it's quite hard to be vulnerable. And I think you touched on that, Bianca, where, you know, sharing failures, like, why is that so difficult? Like, for us, I mean, I don't know, for me, it's very difficult to share if I'm struggling with something. I'm definitely someone who I'll put on a brave face, I'll put on my makeup, even though I haven't slept or I've had a really hard day. And I think it's almost to make myself feel better as well, that no, this isn't real. The fact that I failed
isn't real.
Looking
good makes you feel good.
Yeah, and you were saying that earlier as well today, weren't you, Sade?
Doing my nails, doing all of that, it makes me feel good.
My
sister's in the background, by the way, guys. That's when I was going silent. Say hi, Shauna.
Hey, Shauna.
Hey, Shauna.
They're gonna hear you on the podcast, by the way.
Little feature in your podcast.
I know, a little feature. I agree. I think that I don't know. It's not, again, it's not, you're not obligated, but if you do, and I think it's, you have to gauge like what kind of person you are and what kind of audience that you're attracting, or what kind of people you're attracting. Do you know what I mean? And if you're someone who genuinely cares about the people that follow you and follow your journey, because if you do genuinely care about those people and their well-being, then you'd want them to have a balanced perspective and not think that it's all glitz and glamour. And like, I would recommend anyone who's into this kind of episode, like one thing that I watched on Netflix that absolutely like just shifted me was Michael Jordan's The Last Dance. That documentary, it's a 10-part documentary. Oh my gosh,
that was an
amazing, like amazing. I would watch it again, because I would watch it again. There's so many lessons and takeaways in that thing. I'm not even gonna give anything away, but there are so many takeaways in The Last Dance. It's incredible. I was blown away, honestly, by his, I know like we see him and we see the success anyways, but when you watch that, you will see like the ins and outs and the nitty-gritties of his journey, and you're just like, oh my gosh. And the amount of times he's failed, the amount of times that he's faced hardships and still got out of there and pushed and tried and said, you know, I'm not going to give up, even though this is going on right now and behind the scenes, or this is, it's amazing. So I would suggest anyone to watch that, and we'll maybe post it on our page as a recommendation or something like that. And there's also a video, I'm sure you guys have seen it, of Will Smith talking about failing forward.
That's
really good.
Let's add that to our show notes as well.
Yeah, we will. Failing forward, and he was basically just talking about failing being a part of growth. I think it would be good for us to post that on our page as well. So we will definitely when this episode comes out. But it was just about failing being a part of growth and being intentional about your failing. It sounds weird, but he was basically saying like, aim to fail. Like it should be a thing that you should aim to do. You know what I mean? Because of what is wrapped up in failure, the valuable lessons and etc., the stretching and the growing, it should actually be an aim. It should be a goal. Not what you're saying, like, oh, you know, I want to wake up and fail today. Not like that.
No.
But you're not so tight that you feel like, no, I cannot fail. It's non-negotiable. So I think, those are really good things that I would suggest people to watch.
I think it's also like being willing to take that risk, knowing that potentially you could fail, knowing that potentially it might not go the right way. Mm. And that kind of leads me on to my other question about being a risk taker or being risk adverse. Like, just a question to you guys. Are you, Bianca, are you a risk taker? Or are you risk adverse? Or are you in between? Where would you place yourself?
I think I'm a risk taker. I'm definitely a risk taker.
Definitely. Yeah, no,
I'm a risk taker. But sometimes it's to my detriment, to be honest. Sometimes I don't think things through properly, but I definitely would say I'm not scared of even in like the physical parts of my personality. Like, I'm quite a thrill seeker as well. Mm-hmm. Like, there's certain things that I just love to do, and I think that's just me. I love to live. You know what it is? It's me being intrigued about what's on the other side. Like, for me, not being a risk taker is you're literally choosing to stay on this side of life. There could be so much more waiting on the other side of that decision, that risk that you're taking. Like, why not? Let's just see what's the worst that could happen. Let's see what's on the other side of that risk. So I'm definitely a risk taker. I would say that's me. And I've never really been, I would say being a risk taker has never really got me into a place where, obviously, I have failed sometimes when I've taken that risk, but I've never regretted being a risk taker. Never. Because it's always brought me a new perspective. If it doesn't get me the result I want, I visualize, it's got me some sort of result, like a lesson or a new perspective.
That's interesting that your mindset is like that, because I would just be like, nah, I want to avoid the failure or the disappointment.
Really?
That's the thing about failing forward, about like aiming to fail. Like, you see that as a part of you embracing it as a part of your journey. Risks are not so much of a big thing. They're not so intimidating when you feel like, okay, failure should be a part of my journey. There's no way it can't be anyway, so why not embrace it? Do you know what I mean?
What about you, Sunday?
No, I'm not. I'm not a risk taker, but I do sometimes take calculated risks.
Okay.
I wouldn't say I'm one to kind of just...
Jump.
I would have to have really have thought it through. So, like, I wouldn't kind of just jump from, you know, one country to another country, for example. Nah, I would have to really sat down and thought it all out and thought about, you know, what's the possible risk here? What's this? What's that? Because, but, like, I know that I should be risk averse, and I know that I should, because with risks, like, basically, if you don't take risks, you won't grow. I know that, but it's just the thought. It's just that thought daunting. Of knowing that there's a possibility that you could fail and there's a possibility that things might not go right. So, I'm not a risk taker. No.
Totally.
What about you, Jen? Yeah, what about you?
For me, I would say that I'm a bit of both. And I think when you first, like, look at me, when you first get to know me, I think it's, you know, it's easy to assume that I'm, you know, risk adverse. But when I look back at, and even now, all the things that I'm doing and some of the things that I've done, I said I wouldn't never do, like when I was younger, I've definitely taken a lot of risks, and I'm kind of like Sade, where it's calculated, but sometimes I don't know, there's like this switch in my mind where I'm like, just go do it.
Definitely.
And I think definitely that's what's gotten me this far, to be honest with you.
Love
it.
And it's helped me kind of like just push myself, continue pushing and pushing to the point where doors are opening, and, you know, like you were saying, Bianca, I'm seeing what's on the other side. If I'd kept to myself and, you know, being fearful of, you know, what the outcome could be, which is perfectly normal, by the way, I don't think I would even be doing this podcast, to be quite frank with you. I think sometimes it's also a confidence thing as well, with fear as well. Depending on the type of person you are. If you're someone that's quite skeptical and, you know, you see, what's that saying? You see the glasses half empty, like,
full,
you know,
half full.
It really does depend on your personality, but I think definitely that can change over time. And I think I'm a bit of both, and I think it's okay to,
I love taking risks. I love the thrill. Like, I was even talking to my boyfriend the other day about I want to go to New York, and there's this thing in New York where you take a helicopter ride, but your feet are hanging out like over the city. And
what?
Oh, it's sick. Bianca, like, it
you
dope.
Crazy?
No, no, no. And I was like, I was like, you can do it with me. He was like,
nah.
Like me, like,
do you know, I would faint midway. You know, my heart would just.
Like, if you guys Google it, like feet out of helicopter, the pictures like. It's so, it's just amazing. And I know that adrenaline, that if you Google it, it just looks amazing.
The thing is, I'm sure I'll enjoy it in the moment, but it's the anticipation. Like,
oh, and the thing is, it doesn't mean, like, being a thrill seeker doesn't mean you're never scared. It doesn't mean you're ever fearful or you're scared or you're not scared of failing. Like, of course, if I get on that helicopter, it's, oh my God, what is going to happen to me? I hope I get down safe. All of these things. But I think when you finished, and you finished on that ride, whatever it is you're doing, whatever that risk you're taking, when you get off that and you finally, you've come down from taking that risk and you realize it was worth it, you're just like, you're on a, it's just, again, it's another side that you're exposed to.
Yeah.
So I think that it's important to always aim, not to be a full-on risk taker, but even if it's to have balance, because again, you're always going to see one side of life if you don't take chances. Just what I'm saying. I think that's important.
That's
definitely.
True.
Yeah.
That is so true.
Yeah. Love that. So I guess on to the last question, just to summarize it, how do you pick yourself up from failure? Like, to anyone listening who feels like they're a failure or they're scared of doing things in, you know, in fear that they're not going to get it right and all that kind of stuff, are there any strategies that you've kind of tried for yourself or that works for you, and is there any advice that you would give someone?
Mindset.
You think it's a mindset
honestly
thing?
I really really do think is that there's no secret.
But how to do that though, because mindset is like, how practically, how does that change?
So for me, or what's shift? Helped me is my life coaching, implementing systems such as journaling, such as affirmation apps. Of course, with action, like we spoke about last week.
That's right.
But those are things that have helped me to pick myself back up when things haven't gone my way. I mentioned in one of our last episodes that I write down my intentions for the day, and it's a constant reminder. I've got scriptures right in front of me here, my two proverb scriptures, and I try to alternate them. These are things that work for me. For me, I like to just, I like to see things because that reminds me. And then also, it really helps me when people encourage me as well, like when I've got someone I'm accountable to, or when I've got voices, you know, saying you can do it, I like to be told that. I like to be encouraged. I like to be, so that really helps. So I feed off the energy of others, which is why life coaching was really powerful for me, because that was someone else kind of reassuring me and stuff. Yeah. And yes, I can pick myself back up, but sometimes you need that boost.
No, you do.
Yeah.
You do.
Do you know what I mean? You need that boost. 100%. So yeah, those are some practical things that worked for me.
To be honest, once I fell at something, I'm getting a glass of wine and I'm watching Netflix. That's my coping mechanism.
That's my short term
coping mechanism is I'm gonna drink a bottle of wine if I'm honest.
See, I'd be too anxious to do that.
I'm gonna drink a bottle of wine. And I'm just going to chill. I just relax. Sometimes I just lose myself in that relaxation. And I'm just like, let me just chill. I can't come and kill myself. And I'll watch Netflix. And I'll talk and I'll have a good tea time on the phone to my friends. And just enjoyment. You know, I'll even go to my friend's house. We'll just do something that brings me where I can find small pockets of joy. Do you know what I'm saying? And then for long term, it's okay. When I've gotten through over that initial, oh my God, I failed at something, it's okay. Number one, was this that it didn't work because I need to find another route, or I didn't work hard enough, or is this that it didn't work because, like I said in the beginning, this is not for me? So those are the questions that I have to ask myself before I start again, if I'm going to start again. And once I have the answer to that, that's how I navigate through. So if it's that I didn't work hard enough, or I need to find a different route, okay, let's try this route. Let's see something that may be better suited to you, to your journey, etc. And then if it's not for me, I'm gonna find something else that is for me. Me, I'm quick to find something that's for me, boy. Me, I'm very quick to find something. So there's always something that's out there that you can, you know, whatever it is. So I think it depends. You have to ask yourself the hard questions. You have to do the unsexy work. And when you fail at something, and really sit down and evaluate. After you've had your chill, your Netflix time, and your release moment, sit down and say, is this for me? Do I need to find another route? What is it that, what went wrong here? Why did it go wrong? Do you know what I mean? And then, but also don't be so hard. I think another thing is as well, and that's why I have my relaxation time, because I'm embracing failure as a very normal part of life. It is as normal. Like, failure is that. Do you know what I'm saying?
And so this is what,
like,
I mean. That's why I don't stress myself. Because it must have taken you a journey in order to get there, Bianca. Because not everyone's going to think like, oh, this is just a normal part of life. Some people just drop. No, so it's all about changing the mindset.
I would never want to live a life where I don't fail. I would never want that for myself. Never. I don't want that for myself, because I'm not going to grow to the person I want to be. So when that happens, I'm like, okay, just another day in the office. Got to keep it moving. Figure out what's next. So I think that's really important as well, is to just embrace that failure. And then, go from there, do the work, find out what happened, and then just go from there, What about you, Jen?
Basically said everything I wanted to say. But just to add on top of that, I would also say kind of learn how to pivot as well. Like you said, there's other things that you can do as well. There's other ways that you can, get to that way of success. There's other routes. And, you know, I always look at, like I said, I always look at a person's journey, and I actively make that decision to educate myself on that. And I think that's how my mindset switched. Like, I actively search for, ways in which people failed, how they overcame that. And I think sometimes you can drown yourself in, oh, woe is me and all that kind of stuff. And that's fine. For a bit, but at some point you kind of need to get yourself back up and actually it's okay to have that moment, but I think sometimes you just need to get back up, analyze the situation. Where did you go wrong? How could you do better? Just try different avenues. And I think it's like you said, it's part of your journey. Embrace it. And I said this at the beginning, try not to look at failure as something that's negative, but try to look at it as something that's positive as well. It's that's bound to happen at various areas of your life, whether it's in career, relationships, like different areas. So we just need to have a better outlook on that. 100%.
And I said I'm just like, I the email that went out in last week Monday, and if you're not a part of our subscription, our newsletter, like, guys, make sure you go link in our bio and you can sign up via our website, right? But this can actually translate into success as well, because I spoke about joy and finding joy in every moment of life. And this can be the same for success, because one of the points that I made was that joy, the journey of finding joy is not linear. Like, it's not a thing where it's going up. Like, it's literally, it's every moment in life. Do you know what I mean? You are good. You can find these moments. And sometimes we feel like it's a straight ladder journey when it's really not a ladder journey at all. And
have you seen those illustrations where you've got the straight line to success, and then you've got like a squiggly line?
Exactly. So I think it's just really important to know that with success, you're gonna have some weird moments, and it's not a straightforward journey, and it never will be. And there's a part in the email, sorry guys, I want to read it, because there's a part in the email where I actually said it. Where is it? It's the first part. There we go. So viewing success as a destination will keep you as a permanent resident. I've called it like in the waiting room. It's like this place where you're constantly waiting for something great to happen until you feel like you're accomplished. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's why you have to find accomplishments in things that you do every day. Find successes in your everyday life, whether it's you struggle with your mental health, getting out of bed in the morning, that's a success. Or like, you know what I mean? Like, find success in every day in your life.
Because success does not have to be when you got £1,000 or where you become a millionaire.
Yeah, exactly. Find the victories in your day-to-day life. Yeah. And if you don't do that, you're constantly...
could be your version of success for that day.
Exactly. Yeah. And if you don't find those pockets of success and victories in your everyday, you get to a one level of success and you're going to be wanting another one. It's going to be a constant reaching up when really it's, this is where, you know what I mean? This is, it's an everyday thing for you. So don't miss it because you're looking for one way of success and thinking that you're always failing when there's people like you, if you have children, being a mother or a father every day, you're being successful. Do you know what I mean? Like, so many things. So I think that's really important to remember as well, guys. But yeah, it's been a good episode.
It has. As always, guys, please leave us a 5-star rating. Pause what you're doing right now. Go on Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star rating, review all of that. Subscribe to our channel. And tag us if you're listening to this.
Yes, guys, thank you for another episode of She's in the Pod. And again, sign up to our newsletter if you already haven't. Follow us on all socials at She's in a Pod. YouTube, She's in a Pod, we're there. You can watch us too. We've got a few, some good visuals there. We are consistent with the visuals, okay? So,
we're trying.
Yes, and we will see you guys. Please don't go crazy with these new restriction things. Just
please take it just, easy.
Please second yourself, okay? Please don't be fast. As my mom would say, don't be fast. Just ease yourself because we're not trying to go back inside once we get out, okay?
Exactly.
So, we love you. Make sure, don't forget to wear your face mask as well, please. Don't forget that, okay? And we will see you for another episode next week.
All right.
All right. Bye, guys. Bye.